The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. We want to wish you a happy Easter and welcome you to this service. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this morning we declare, He is risen. He is risen indeed. We also want to wish you on behalf of my family. I'm Pastor Mark, the lead pastor here at Peoria Nazarene. I've got some helpers with me today. We would like to wish you a happy Easter from our family, so we're going to have the kids help us in that today.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Autumn just tagged on there for a little extra, but we sincerely want to wish you a happy Easter. We're missing being with you and our church family and gathering today, but we know that the Lord is with us. We want to pause at the beginning of this service, recognize that wherever we're gathering from today, whether we're alone or with our families, that the risen Lord Jesus is with us. And even in these moments as we gather together online, He will be with us through His Holy Spirit. And then we're going to sing together some songs of the resurrected Christ that remind us of His victory. So let's pause for a moment, and then I want to encourage you to join us in singing together from our homes. Father, we thank You today that we know, even as we gather in these moments, that You love us and that You're with us. And today we proclaim the truth that the Lord Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And as a risen Savior, You are with us. Even though we can't gather together, You are with us now. We pray that as we sing from our homes and as we listen and respond to Your word today, that the name of the risen Christ would be honored and glorified, and our hearts again would find their peace and their hope in Him. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye hymns and earth reply, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Dying once, He Oh, Ours the cross, the grave, the skies.
Good morning. Isn't it a wonderful Easter morning? The fact that he is risen, the tomb is empty. He is our Savior, our Lord, our wonderful God. It's just a wonderful time to know that he has died for our sins. And yes, he did not stay there on the cross. He rose from the dead and lives within our hearts. And so let's take time right now to pray together as a church, even though we're not together bodily. We are here with this technology, and we can at least be together that way. So let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you this morning, wonderful Easter morning, remembering what Jesus did on the cross for us today. Remembering the fact, Lord Jesus, that he was in that grave for 3 days, and yet the power of your Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And he is with us today, and he is risen. And we thank you for that, Lord God. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us this day. We are not together physically, but Lord Jesus, you know all about what's going on in the world. This is no surprise to you. You know what's happening. You know from the very beginning that this was all going to happen. Help us, Lord God, to put our trust in you. Help us to know, Lord God, that you are with us. No matter what happens around us, we don't have to fear for anything. Because you are our good shepherd. You know us, Lord Jesus. You know us each by name. And we thank you for that. What a wonderful Savior you are. And so, Father God, would you be with us this day? Would you help us each and individually, Lord, that as we cast all our cares on you, we know that you will care for us. We know, Father, that you are the great I am. You are the one, Lord God, that has the power to reach into this world and conquer this virus that's been going on. You alone know that, Lord God. But in all of it, Lord Jesus, there is a purpose. And you knew about it. And all of us have learned, Lord, to be with you even more during this time. And Lord, we have learned a lot of things. Through all of this, I'm sure we all have. And so, Jesus, would you just help us to continue to worship you, continue to trust you, continue to let you know that we love you, knowing that your love for us is far greater than ours for you, but yet you love us no matter what. Such unconditional love from our Savior makes our hearts just melt. Because no matter what happens, Lord Jesus, you are never going to leave us or forsake us. You are going to be there for us. You are going to be there to be our God, to be the one that stands beside us, to know that we can conquer anything that comes into our path because you are with us. Your life is within us, Lord God. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. We praise your name today that you are the great God and that you are risen. I pray right now, Lord God, that you would be with everyone that has suffered with this virus. I pray healing would come to the multitudes in New York and in Chicago and everywhere in Detroit and California. Father, would you touch all of that and heal, Father, I pray. Help the nurses and the doctors, Jesus. We ask that you would be with them this Easter day. That as they work hard and as they're putting themselves in harm's way, Lord Jesus, would you please be with them? Help them, Lord God. Be with them and be with all the first responders, God. Just help them because we know that we have to trust you to get through all of this. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. As we gather this Easter in our homes to consider and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, this Easter is very different than what we are accustomed to. We're sheltering in place. We are responding to the spread of a dangerous virus that has brought disruption into our lives personally, and it's changed every part of society. This virus has left us unable to gather,
in person as a church family, it's also left us unable to gather with our friends and family members later in the day to celebrate Easter. We might wonder if it's even possible in these circumstances to celebrate Easter. We might wonder, can it really even be possible for us to encounter the presence of the risen Christ in these less than ideal circumstances? Can we worship Jesus and be renewed when we are isolated and when we might feel alone in our homes? And what you may not know is that our gathering this Easter Sunday morning to worship the risen Lord together online and in our homes is much like that first gathering, of the church on the day of Jesus' resurrection. The setting of this very first church gathering on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, occurs the evening of that day that Jesus was raised from the grave. By this time, we remember that earlier in the morning, the women had already discovered the tomb to be empty. Peter and John had already rushed into the tomb after hearing Mary's report of the empty tomb. Mary had already announced to the disciples that while she lingered by the tomb weeping, the Lord Jesus appeared to her alive and told her to go and tell the others. Now on Easter Sunday evening, 10 of the original 12 disciples are gathered in a room with doors locked. And what's fascinating about this number is this is the number for a congregational quorum according to Jewish regulations. The number 10 was that necessary number. And here we have the very first congregational gathering of the church on the evening of that first resurrection Sunday. And I want to invite you to listen to John's description of that very first church gathering in God's word in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, he blew on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." It's the word of the Lord. You see, this first church gathering is more like our gathering today than we may realize. Notice how this gathering begins. The disciples are withdrawn. They're discouraged. They're fearing. And they're wondering if Jesus will really come to them as he promised. It's anything but glorious. And the irony here is, as this first church gathering takes place, it's on the evening after Jesus has risen victorious, having conquered the grave. And here in this gathering, the disciples are cowering and sheltering in fear. But it's here. It's in this first gathering. It's in their place of fear that the risen Savior meets them. Every detail John gives us in this description, in this encounter with Jesus, is important. First, you'll notice that he tells us that this occurs on the first day of the week, Sunday, the evening of the Lord's resurrection. The first day is significant because it reminds us of the creation story of the Bible, which begins in Genesis with God creating through his word, beginning on the very first day of the week. He creates all things. Everything he creates, we are told, is good. It is free of sin. It is free of evil. It is free of death and suffering. Humanity's rejection of God is what spoils all that God has created good and glorious. And here it is, on this first day of the week, Jesus, the risen Savior, appears to the church, signifying that he who has power to create has power to reclaim and restore all things from the power of sin, death, and evil. The new creation and restoration of all things has already begun in the appearance of the risen, victorious Christ. In church, it's good for us to remind ourselves of this. While we know that the world is not as it should be now, we know that the remedy for what has gone wrong with the world has already been given. The cure for the disease of sin and evil that humanity has brought upon creation has already been accomplished. Death, the death of death, has already happened. The victory over the grave has already been accomplished. And the remedy for our sinful hearts has been provided in the blood of Jesus, his death and resurrection. This morning, I long for you to step into that hope with me. Jesus transformed that very first church gathering of a fearful people into a place of forgiveness and a place of new creation. This morning, he is near to you. You may not realize it yet, but he has already come to you. He's already won the victory you need. He's already provided the remedy our hearts need most. And this morning I share with you that his grace is available to you today. We must listen and respond to the risen Savior. What's fascinating about this first church gathering on this Sunday evening, the day of the Lord's resurrection, John only recounts that only one voice speaks in this gathering in John's gospel, and it's the voice of the risen Lord. His voice is the only voice that we need to hear, and his voice is the only voice that we need today. I want to share with you four statements that Jesus makes in this gathering. He makes four statements that I think help us know how it is that we are to respond to Christ, the risen, victorious Lord. The first statement that Jesus makes when he appears to the disciples is he says, "Peace be with you." Now, we might just think this is a simple greeting, but in John's gospel, it is not. This is more than just the Jewish way of saying shalom. This is a pronouncement of God's blessing upon his creation. This is a declaration that God in Christ has made peace with us. You see, Jesus promised his peace before his death. John 14:27. Remember how Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I am going away, and I will come to you." You see, here in this first church gathering, this is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised, that he would come to his disciples after his death, and he would give them his peace. You know what's amazing is after making this statement, Jesus does something. He shows the disciples his wounds, his hands, and his side that was pierced. You know, this is not to identify Jesus so that they'll know it's him. It's not merely that. Rather, in doing so, Jesus shows that the source of the peace that the world needs, that you and I so desperately need today, is only found in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is peace. He is the wounded healer. The scars from Jesus' crucifixion declare God's peace and blessing to the whole world. And let me remind you that the prophet Isaiah spoke of this very thing hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. He said this, he said, "The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The risen Christ, the wounded healer, is the source of peace we need. The disciples respond to the risen Lord, John tells us, by rejoicing. Their hearts are glad. And it reminds us this morning, even as we gather, to know Jesus, the risen Lord, is to receive and know the peace of God in Christ. The second statement that Jesus makes is this. He says once again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." You see, just as Jesus, just as the church is composed of those who have received God's peace and first been recipients of the grace of the Lord Jesus in his death and resurrection, in the same way the church is to share in the missionary heart of God. You see, God the Father sends the Son to bring peace and redemption to all creation. And in the same way, God desires for all people to know his peace, and he desires for the church to be sent into the world to share this good news and the peace that we found in Christ with all people. You see, it's an expression of our worship. It's one of the ways that we worship our risen Lord. In addition to first receiving his peace and trusting in Christ as Lord and rejoicing in him, we worship fully when we go and we share this peace. Because what God has done in Christ is for all people. His love is to all people. His grace and his peace and the redemption is for all people. So this morning, we, even from our homes as a church, join together in proclaiming this message of salvation, this message of hope to you. We join with the Apostle Paul in affirming this in his letter to the church at Corinth. He said this, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." The church shares in the missionary heart of God. So even now we declare to you, in the midst of these troubling times, there is a peace that only God can bring into our lives. It's the peace of being restored back into a right relationship of love with your Creator. It's the peace of knowing that the one who has created this world good, although it's been marred and stained by sin and death and evil, he has defeated sin and death, and he will return to restore all things. And we want to invite you to receive this peace that we have found in Christ and to join us in being examples and messengers, ambassadors of his grace to the world. The third statement that Jesus makes in this first gathering is this. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, the way the church shares in the ministry and life-giving mission of God in the world is only possible through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is not an electrical outlet that we plug into for some power. He's not a mystical force. No, the Spirit of God, according to God's word, presents him to us as he is fully God, along with the Father and along with the Son. And the Holy Spirit is how we know and experience the presence of the risen Christ and the loving Father in us. You see, Jesus promised his disciples before his death, resurrection, and ascension back to be with the Father that he would send his Holy Spirit to be in us. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we know Christ and we know the Father. It's through the work of the Spirit in us. You see, he's the one, and he's the only one who can speak peace into our hearts. He alone can impart to us the life of the triune God. John tells us something that's a little interesting and maybe a little awkward for us. He says that Jesus breathed, or the word that's actually used here is that Jesus blew on his disciples before he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This seems unusual because it'd be more natural for the original language to use this word for breath, but that's not the word that John uses here to refer to the Holy Spirit. Instead, he uses this unique word, and it's a word that is very rarely used in the New Testament. It's used more often in the Old Testament. And there's two specific passages where in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament that would have been common for the readers of John's gospel, there's two places that this word occurs that shed light on what's going on here. And the first is in Genesis 2:7. When God formed man from the dust of the ground, we're told he blew into the nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person. And it's also the same word that we read in the prophet Ezekiel, who in chapter 37 envisioned the Spirit of the Lord recreating, renewing the temple, and recreating the people of God. Now, the point here is significant, because here in this first gathering of the church, 10 cowering, afraid disciples, the risen Lord gives the Holy Spirit, blowing upon the fearful disciples gathering, establishing the church as the new creation community, the new people of God, participating in his life-giving ministry until he returns. The church, the body of Christ, will be both the recipient of the work of Christ and the very witness of God's work to the world. And you see that through the church today, even now, the risen Lord is still reaching out through the Holy Spirit, offering new life to all who would trust in Christ and believe in him. The final statement Jesus makes is this. He says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." See, the ending of Jesus' conversation here in his final statement reminds us that as we receive this peace that has been brought to us by the death and resurrection of Jesus, we share his peace by the Holy Spirit in us, and we declare to the world, the church's message is this, that forgiveness of sins is available for all people. This is the message of salvation. This is the message of the cross. God desires for all people to be restored to him and find forgiveness in him. He longs for all to know his forgiveness, and this invitation is for all people. He turns no one away. Only those who willingly reject him fail to experience his forgiveness. This first church service begins with disciples cowering in fear. And then it moves them to a point of rejoicing in the forgiveness that God has brought to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Easter Sunday, it definitely feels different. And I don't know where you began this Sunday morning, but perhaps you, like those disciples, were sheltering in place and your heart was full with fear. Maybe some anxiety, maybe some grief. There's a longing to be with others today. And do you realize that this risen Jesus who appeared to those 10 gathered in that very first church service, and there he said to them, "Peace be with you." That same Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit is with us today. And you realize that the message that we proclaim as a church today is the message that Christians have been proclaiming through the centuries, through difficult times, through times of lot, times of little. This is the message of hope we proclaim. We have been sent by God Just as the Father sent the Son, so the Son has sent us in the Holy Spirit to bring you this message today, that in Jesus Christ, you can have peace. And in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. You see, the church isn't composed of perfect people. Far from it. It's people just like you. People who are lost. People who, in our hearts, sin and death reigned. We were self-centered. And even now, we still don't fully display the glory of Christ the way we wish. But we have this message of hope that the world needs today. It's the message of the presence of the work of the risen Lord Jesus. The eternal God has come to us, our Creator. And just as he breathed life into Adam, he has breathed his life into us today. And we proclaim to you, just as Paul did in his letter to the church at Corinth, be reconciled to God. Respond to his peace today. We found the remedy for our hearts and the remedy for this broken world. Jesus is the one who saves, and we want you to share in his life with us. Now, if you were to ask me, can I do that right now? Especially I'm in my home, is it really possible? And if I know that God is speaking to me through this message of this Easter gathering, how can I respond to step into this peace and to step into this life? John 20:31, John explains the very purpose of why he's written down his account of this very thing. And he says this, these things were written that you might believe. And he says that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by believing, find life in his name. You see, that's all that God requires. Is he requires that you would believe that in Jesus, God was restoring all that is broken. God was bringing us the forgiveness of sins. He is the only source of peace. And today, if you would turn your heart from him and turn it away from all the other places that you've gone for peace that have failed you, and you'll turn your heart to the risen, present Christ, just as he spoke peace into the hearts of the disciples that day, he will speak peace into your heart. But it doesn't stop there. That's how you begin a relationship with Jesus, is by trusting fully in him as Savior and Lord, Son of God. That relationship grows in that second part by believing that you might find life in his name. That's an ongoing word. It's a word for trust. God's desire is that you would know him personally. It's not to make you religious. It's not just to clean you up. He does want to transform you to be like his son, but the way he does that is relational. He wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to walk with him. And by believing and trusting in him all the days of your life, you will find life in his name. And this life that he gives us is eternal life. Jesus Christ is risen today. We worship him, we praise him, and we share this message with you. I want to pray with you as we respond to him together. Let's pray. Our risen Savior, as we come to you this morning, we realize that all of this story, this Easter story, resurrection story that we tell today, it's not our story. It's your story. Your word reminds us that before the world was ever even began, that you loved us and that this was your plan. You knew that we would abuse our free will. You knew that we would reject you, and this world that you created good, that evil and sin and suffering by humanity's rebellion would stain all of creation. And every one of us today recognize that that evil has affected us. Sin has affected us. And in this world, we are so saddened because we see that things are not the way they should be. But Lord, if we're honest, it's not just the evil out there, it's the evil within. Each one of us know that, yes, our hearts bear your image, they're capable of good, but at the same time, our hearts have become sinful. And even from a young age, Lord, we have turned to ourselves and not to you. And we have participated in that original rebellion against you. But today we hear you speak, Today we hear you once again as the risen Lord, the one who by his wounds we are healed. We hear you speak today, Jesus, and you invite us. You remind us that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And it's by believing in the Son of God, that wounded healer, that suffering servant, that victorious Savior and Lord who triumphed over the grave, who triumphs over evil. It's by believing in him that we find life. So Lord Jesus, today, through your Spirit, we know we have no power to effect change in a heart, but we know that that peace, we have experienced it. We've been changed by what you've done for us. And it'd be our prayer today, in the name of Jesus, that anybody who is looking for that peace today, so much more than an emotion, they're looking for an answer, Lord, that this would be the day that they hear you say to them, "My peace be with you." This would be the day that they would see with their eyes, even now, the wounded side and the wounded hands of the risen, victorious Savior, that this would be the day that they would become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Father, we know that all that is necessary for that is that we respond in our hearts, "Yes, Jesus," and we believe that you're the Son of God. To everyone who believes in you, Lord, we experience this life. The forgiveness of all of our sins is ours because Jesus is the sacrifice. And Father, we pray that for all of us, that today this gathering with you, Jesus, would renew us and that we would keep on believing, because it's by believing that we find life in your name. And until that glorious day when the Lord Jesus comes and we see the realization of what happened that first Easter Sunday, that just as we know death has been defeated and the victory has already happened over sin, and we know that a new creation has already begun, give us faith and strength to continue believing in you and proclaiming this message of forgiveness to the world until that day, Lord Jesus, that you return and you make all things new again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your Spirit. We truly are not alone. Thank you for meeting with us in our homes this Easter Sunday morning. We give praise to you, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Heaven looked away.
Along with Pastor Mark, I want to thank you once again for choosing to worship with us here at Peoria Nazarene online on this wonderful, blessed Easter resurrection morning. Just pray that this has been a blessing to you, that the worship lifted your spirits, that the Word of God inspired you. And I want to encourage you, if you have made a decision this morning to step into this new life in Christ, or if you have made a decision to rededicate your life to this journey, we want to hear from you, and we want to be able to resource you and get things in your hands that can help you along this journey. And so on YouTube and on Facebook, in the chat, we're going to include a link with a simple contact form to allow us to get in touch with you and get some things in your hands that will help you along this journey. And we want to be praying for you as you step into this new life. If you are a regular attender or a member of Peoria Nazarene and would like to continue to give to support the ministries of Peoria Nazarene, we may not be gathering in the building, but we are still conducting ministry. You can go to our Facebook or to our website, and at the top there is a give link, and that will direct you to our church community page and instructions on how you can give online. But once again, I want to thank you for joining with us in worship this morning, and I pray that you have a wonderful Easter day, and remember, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Have a blessed day.